Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Thank you for that, Denver. That's a gracious introduction. This is the day before, the day before 4th of July, exactly. A lot of people are traveling, but I'll be right here tomorrow. I'm going to work tomorrow. I decide to work because I love what I do. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. I'm in my studio broadcasting live, and I hope you're out there, you're listening live. If you want to listen later to a recorded version of the show, that's okay. The show is always archived. It's always, and you can always download it onto your device or whatever you want to do. But make sure you listen. Whatever you do, listen. Okay, this is the 4th of July, and this is the third day. The third day of the Illinois shutdown. This is July 3rd. It started on the 1st, 1, 2, 3, the third day. And it's awful. It's a mess because people aren't getting paid. One thing for sure, after July 15th, the paychecks will stop coming if they haven't stopped coming already in some circles. It's awful. This is pitiful. An Illinois shutdown. This is the first time this state has been shut down. So I'm going to be talking about this every day until the shutdown no longer exists, until it's over. Because this is a very important topic. Because I live in this state. I live in Chicago. So the shutdown is affecting me. It's affecting all of us. I mean, even if it's not affecting me financially, it affects me because I'm a resident of Illinois. Just by being a resident, it affects you. And it's political. It's both the working people, the middle class, the poor, the struggling, all of us who struggle to make a living every day, we're not the blame for this. It's politicians who are to blame for this. People who we elect to represent us, they're to blame for this. They can't get their acts together. They don't like each other. They can't stand each other. They can't work together. You know, but the real culprit is Bruce Rauner. I can't say this enough. I can't really espouse this enough. I put him through the grinder on yesterday's show. And yesterday's show, I'm pretty sure I had some internet interference some sort of way because, like I said, anytime you're doing internet radio or internet anything, there's always a chance for the internet acting crazy, okay? And that's what it might have done to me on yesterday's show. I haven't gone back and listened to it yet, but I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to find out if I should keep the show or should I just delete it, okay? But this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you want to chime in on anything that I've talked about, any of the topics so far. And one other thing I'd like to note. This is the 100th episode of this show. Yeah. This is like an anniversary or a milestone or something. But this is my 100th show on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network, WTTTY. And, you know, it's a milestone. It's like my birthday almost. You know, I mean, it's my 100. I'm not 100 years old. Sometimes I feel like it, but it is the 100th episode that I've done 100 shows, and I haven't even been on a show a year. Okay, I've a year would be probably next month, August. I'm thinking August late August. That will be 1 year for me to have to be on, to be a host of this show. And I'm kind of happy about it. It's my 100th episode. I can say, hey, it's an anniversary or something or rather to that. And it's great. It feels great. My 100th episode. Wow, I can say, wow, I've made it. I have actually made it. Hopefully. Okay, let's get back to the state shutdown of Illinois. Before I do that, I want to say something about the weather. It is great. It is gorgeous out here. It is beautiful for the 4th of July Eve, the day before 4th of July. And like I said before, I'm going to be working tomorrow. A lot of people are taking off, but I'm going to be right here at the radio station broadcasting live from Chicago on July 4th because I love what I'm doing. I'd rather be here than be anywhere else, you know, talking to you and telling you things and informing you on things that you may not know, or you can always call in and tell me things that I may not know, you know, because we're all about learning. I can learn something, you can learn something, they can learn something. We never stop learning. It is a lifelong endeavor. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and it is a great day. It is 6:05 straight up Chicago time, CDT time, Pacific time. Sometimes I get that screwed up. You know, sometimes the callers and my guests get that screwed up too. So we have to realize, you're in California, I'm in Chicago. What is the time zones? And we have to put our heads together and figure that out. Okay. The state shutdown. It is awful. This is the third day of it, and I can say this, people in the downtown area, people from all across the state are protesting these cuts, these enormous cuts. Basically, if you think about it, there haven't actually been any cuts. It's just that the politicians, if I can get this straight, the politicians let the funding run out. By them letting the funding run out, it means that they, the politicians, refuse to pay the state's bills. Yeah, you have bills, I have bills, the state of Illinois has bills, just like every state around the country has to pay its bills. They are responsible for paying their bills. If you and I don't pay our bills, here comes the collection agencies. And that's the same thing that's going to go. And that's the same thing that's going after the state of Illinois, the collection agencies, which are the people of Illinois. These agencies, some of these places, these agencies has to be funded because it is required by law that these places, that these agencies are funded, and for Bruce Rauner to let the funding just run out because he can't get the cuts that he wants is just not right. It's irresponsible. Some of these cuts are just wrong that he's proposing. But by letting the funding run out when he could have signed a spending bill that would have negated this is just atrocious. So my point being is that the state is falling behind on its obligations to pay its bill. He has an obligation to pay the bills, and he's not paying the bills. When you're not paying the bills, people suffer. People who really need the services suffer. They get sick. They die because the state, Bruce Rauner, failed to pay the state's bills in order for these programs, these services, to keep going that are a lifeline to some seniors and disabled children and the mentally ill. It's just awful. So a lot of people are out and about, not just vacationing and going places on the 4th of July. They're going to be out there picketing and protesting. these cuts, proposed cuts, and the fact that these guys let the funding run out to just about all of these agencies, when some of these agencies have to be funded because it is required. It is required by law, Illinois law. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, is being sued up his kazoo. He's being sued up his kazoo. There's lawsuits flying everywhere for this guy. For the last two or three days, you haven't heard anything from Rauner. He's somewhere hiding. He's somewhere manipulating. Somewhere being diabolical. The next time he's going to come out, he's going to be proposing other things to cut. Yeah, he ran as a passionate governor. His wife also was by his side, and they both seemed like two compassionate individuals. But I knew better. I knew better. I knew they were faking. I knew it wasn't right. I knew they were acting, because as soon as he was voted into office, he bought the office, or whatever you want to say, changed. He changed. He said he was for education. What he wants is power. Like I said yesterday during the show, what he wants is power. He wants power over this state, and we are not going to give it to him. He will not get it. And I'm not the only one saying that. There's a lot of Democrats in the state legislature that are saying this too. He wants power. He doesn't want to work with the Democratic legislature. He doesn't want to work with anybody. He wants to mouth off and say things, give orders, threats. He wants to be in charge of everything. And he's not. So he's going to try to bully his way. Bully his way into getting what he wants. And that's not going to happen. Not in Illinois. This is not, Illinois is not Wisconsin. Illinois is not Ohio. Illinois is not some of these southern states down in Illinois who have all of these Republican governors slashing programs, busting unions, and just stepping all on the people. But the people is going, I mean, the people, they are going to have to rise up. They're going to have to get up off their asses and rise up and stop letting these guys push them around, kick them around, and then they just lay down. It ain't going to work like that. I keep saying the Republicans, the rich people, are the 1%. We are the 99% percenters. Now, do your math. Who has more to lose and who has more to win? The 99% has more to win. The 1%, they have more to lose, because we're more than they are. We're the majority. They're in the minority, but yet they seem to keep winning. The only reason why these guys are winning, because we, the majority, do not get out there and vote. You want to change things in this city, in this state, in this country, you have to vote. Period. I understand that some of these guys are clowns and idiots. You can't believe them. That's true. But we have to do a better job at picking candidates that we know that are going to represent us as long as they are holding office, the office that we voted them into. Okay, now, the state payroll could go up, could be up to the courts in Chicago, in Illinois. Okay, so like I said before, he's being sued. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, is being sued every which way but loose. He is being sued. Every group that I know of is taking, especially people who are desperately needing of their paychecks. You know, they are going to court to get paid. Rauner stopped the raises for the politicians, the senators, and the representatives in the state legislature, in the Illinois state legislature. These guys are not going to get paid. Rauner stopped that. I know they got to be pissed off. Rauner's not making any friends. Rauner claimed before he became governor that the people of Chicago and Illinois, they were going to dislike him. He was wrong. The people of Illinois don't just dislike him, they despise him. Anytime you're messing with people's money that they worked hard for, we don't like that. You start messing with our money, we're going to do something about that. You know, you don't mess with people's money, you don't, especially when they've worked for it, when they've earned it, and they deserve it. And suddenly, they find out they're not going to get paid. It's clear. It's clear. Rauner had some businesses. I think I said in one broadcast that he didn't have a business. I was wrong. I stand corrected. He had a few businesses that were nursing homes, and they went up and they failed. And now he's the head honcho of Illinois, at least he thinks. And now Illinois is failing under this guy. I knew the moment I heard that he had all of these businesses that actually failed under him. I mean, there's court records, court documentations, and all of that stuff, if you research it, whereas people have died in some of these nursing homes that he was the overseer of. And I knew, I said, this guy can't even run a business. He doesn't have a successful business. How in the hell can he run Illinois? And that was the main reason why I did not vote for him. I didn't vote for him because he was rich. I didn't vote for him because of his color. I voted for him because I did not vote for him. Let me put it clear. I did not vote for him because he had a lot of failed businesses. People have died in some of those businesses. And there's plenty of court documents to that. But anyway, he's shown us who he is as of now, as of late. He's shown us who he is. If he couldn't run a business, if the business was not successful, what the hell made him think he's going to run an entire state? Yeah, he's running the state. He's running it right into the toilet, or he has ran it into the toilet. It's up to us to get ourselves up out of the toilet where Bruce Rauner has put us. We have to do that. And the reason why I'm talking about the state shutdown, because I live in the city. I'm a resident of the city of Chicago. I'm a resident of Illinois. I have the right to talk. I'm a taxpayer. Boy, and we are taxed up the kazoo also. They want to raise so many taxes in this state, it's a shame, especially in the city of Chicago. You can barely live already. This is an expensive place, an expensive town to live in, and it's going to get even more expensive. You talk about the minimum wage just being raised to $10 from $8.25. You're going to need $12, $13 an hour. I mean, this is an expensive place to live. And if you're lucky enough to find a place to stay in this city to pay so much rent or mortgage or whatever you're paying, condo or whatever, it is expensive. You know, you're going to pay, especially if you're living in a pretty decent area. Actually, sometimes when you're paying the rent, you're not paying the rent for the apartment. You're actually paying the rent for the entire area. The entire area. You're paying for everything. And a lot of renters think that they do not pay property taxes. Yes, you pay property taxes. Your taxes, property taxes, are included in your rent. So if the property taxes go up in Illinois and in the city of Chicago, and you are a renter, your rent is going to increase, just like someone who owns a home. Mortgage is going to increase, or their taxes, yearly taxes or annual taxes, will also increase. So it's bad. It's bad all over. And everything is going up. Everything is costing more. Have you ever noticed you go into the store and you pick up an item, all of a sudden the item is packaged in a much smaller box than it was before? The same thing you were buying, but it's packed in a box much smaller than it was before, and the price has increased. So you're getting less and you're paying more for your groceries at the store. Everything is going up. Everything is increasing. Nothing's going down. Nothing's going down. Everything's going uppity, up, 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 and you're going to get less of it. Put in a place where we have no other choice. We have no other choice. Okay, the minimum wage has gone up. Okay? The businesses, the corporations, and everybody else, they know that the minimum wage is going up, so that's going to cause them to raise prices elsewhere to eat up that $10 an hour that you are now making. So it's rough. It's hard. It's rough. And I'm talking about the state of Illinois, but I know this kind of thing is going on elsewhere throughout the United States. You know, so let's get back to Illinois. State payroll is going to be up to the courts. So we should know by Tuesday, coming Tuesday, July 7th, what the courts will decide. Because if the courts do not make a decision on this, payroll will not be met for a lot of state workers. A lot of the social services where funding is dried up, bills will not be paid. So Illinois is still in the toilet. We got to find our way somehow to pull ourselves up out of this thing. And we got people working for us. That's a good thing. We got people working for us. We got people like Lisa Madigan. And we got a Republican lady. I can't think of her name. Munger or something. She's working for us because she's trying to do the things. They're not politicians like Mike Madigan or Bruce Rauner, but they're trying to do the things to get people their paychecks and to get some of these programs, social programs, funded so people will not die. Medicaid has been dried up. That means a lot of people cannot go to the doctor because there's no way that they can pay for treatment. So Medicaid has dried up. Doctors are saying, hey, let's hold off a few weeks before I can give you this treatment, you know, until let's see if they're going to pay for this. They might not pay for it. They might, who knows? So let's just, and these are two females. These are two ladies, okay? And they're trying to do their best to try to get the workers of Illinois their paychecks, whereas these assholes, especially Rauner, has stopped or vetoed. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, really pissed off because this is my state, this is my town, and I really don't like what I have been reading, hearing, seeing. So I'm going to get down there right there with those protesters, and I'm going to be down there protesting right with them. I'm going to be, you know, I don't like sitting at the microphone and just talking. I'm the type of guy who put action behind his words, you know. Even though I have a microphone, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of people out there are hearing me, and they're hearing what I'm saying, and they're passing it on to others. But there's nothing like doing something, not just talking, but doing something, putting some action behind what you are saying, and that's what I'm all about. If I say, get out there and vote, I'm saying it because I am a voter, and I will also get out there and do my civic duty. As I've said in other shows, people have died for you to vote. They've died for you to be here. Do your duty. If you do not vote, the bad guy gets in, they're gonna do what Rauner is doing. Actually, Rauner is trying to do what they're doing. But he has to realize something, and we've told him before. This is not Wisconsin. This is not Ohio or any of those states where Republicans have written roughshod over the people of those states. This is not one of those states. Rauner cannot come in here on a white horse or any kind of horse and just wave a magic wand and we are supposed to just bow down to him like he's some sort of king. He's holding Illinois hostage. He's holding children hostage, the elderly, the mentally ill, autism, foster care, and a lot of these other social agencies because he let the money run out. He didn't cut anything yet. He's proposing cuts, but he let the money run out because year of July 1st. He had two bills on his desk that he did not sign, and the funding ran out because there was no signature. He deliberately did not want to fund these programs. He deliberately did not want to do the right thing. He deliberately wanted a shutdown of this state. Deliberately. This is what Republicans do. They don't get what they want. They hold people hostage. And if they still don't get what they want, they'll shut down the state, stop it from running. And like I said before, you don't mess with anybody's money. People are very fickle about that. I'm very fickle about that. Rauner, I recall Bruce Rauner saying that he didn't care if he did not win another election. He said that. He said he didn't care. So therefore, he didn't care about what we thought of his actions because he said he didn't care if he not. Well, he will not win another election. I don't think he's going to make it out of this one alive. I think he's going to wind up being corrupt. I think they're going to find something somewhere down the line where he's broke the law. Because the law has been broken. Anytime you do not fund programs that's supposed to be legally funded, you don't do that, you're breaking the law. Corruption. So I figure that he may get some jail time down the road. You know, and I've always thought that. I said, this guy is going to wind up in jail because he's just so mean and nasty and he just doesn't care. But like I said before, this is Illinois. This is not any other state. He cannot come in here and run roughshod over the people of Illinois because he wants power. He wants to be the king. It's his way or the highway. He's blaming the Democrats. The Democrats has nothing to do with it. He has cut their pay. I mean, he didn't cut it. He actually vetoed a pay raise for these guys. I said that before. He vetoed a pay raise for these guys. And if you think about it, the shutdown has caused a lot of people, like I've been saying 1,000 times, the shutdown caused a lot of people in the state of Illinois not to get their checks. But the people who are the blame for these people are not the people who are blamed for these people who are not getting checks, they're getting paid. They are getting paid. The people who shut this thing down, they're getting paid. They're the ones who should not get paid. And that's a shame. That is a shame. So, like I said before, we're going to see July 7th. I'm trying to do too many things here at once. July 7th, we're going to see what the courts say. And I have a feeling the courts are going to back the people. Okay. All right. State payroll could be up to courts as budget impasse continues. Yeah. The state shut down. They don't know if they're going to get paid. And this is not right. This is wrong. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right now. I'll be right back. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sins, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right. Well, then you better get back. Yeah, okay, let me say this. The people who put us in office, the people who put us in this situation by failing to do their job will get their paychecks. That was a quote I was reading. And that's true. That's true. These guys who put us in this mess, they're going to get paid, even though they're stopping our paychecks. That is just awful. And that is why the state of Illinois is in the flux that it's in, because we got politicians that do not care about the people who put their butts in office. All righty, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what we got here. All right, you're on the air. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Caller? There? All right. Nobody's answering? There? Okay. All right, I'm just going to continue. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Somehow I have the callers online. I can't understand if they're still there. We're having technical difficulties or something. My screen is lit up, but no answer. Nobody's there. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, reporting and recording and broadcasting live from the city of Chicago. It is a beautiful time. It's a beautiful day. It's just wonderful. And I'm waiting for my guest, Lisa Y. Sparrow. She's the author of a book that she's going to be discussing on the show, hopefully, called His Eye is on the Sparrow. Yeah, that's it. His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I remember that as being a gospel song for some reason. It was a gospel song. It was done by Marvin Gaye, and he did a great rendition of the song. I said this yesterday. Marvin Gaye did a great rendition of the song. Are we having internet problems? Can we be having internet problems? I'm not sure. Okay, I can see that I'm still on the air. It doesn't say I'm off the air, but I can't seem to get in touch with the author here. Okay, let's see what we got. Lisa?
Oh, my God. Yes?
Lisa? Are
Hello?
You there?
Hello?
Yeah, Lisa? I'm here.
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're breaking up.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Where,
I'm here.
Is there something wrong? Okay, is there something wrong with your phone?
I'm in Chicago, so it very well could be, and I do apologize. So I'm not really – looks like I have a good signal, but I may not. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It could be on this end. I don't know. I can hear you through my earphone, so
okay.
I can hear myself also. And it seemed to be okay now. Okay, so you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm also in Chicago. I'm on the north side in my studio near the lake, you know. So
oh, awesome.
I'm right off Sheridan.
Okay.
So, all right. Okay, can you tell us something about yourself and about the book?
I did hear you say that you remember His Eyes on the Sparrow as a gospel song, and it is. But I did it as a spin on my name, since the book is about me, Lisa Y. Sparrow, and because I am a mentally ill Black woman, and I have been my entire life. And through it
sound
all,
good to me,
there were times that I thought that God hated me. And through the whole process and over the years, I realized that, you know what, He doesn't hate me. And God's eye really on me. So it's a very open, very candid story about my life and about some of the things that have made me the way that I am.
Why do you call yourself mentally ill?
Because I suffer from major depression and bipolar disorder. So, and when you combine those two together, it can be pretty intense. It can be a very, very deep and dark valley. I mean, I know that God loves me. I know that I have family and friends that love me. But when I'm depressed or I'm having an episode, I can't see any worse. I can't see anything good about myself, you know, and the things that I work so hard to accomplish. It's almost like it just doesn't matter anymore. And I've been suicidal multiple times over my life. And those are things that, you know, when you're in that valley, those suicidal ideations start to look pretty good. And it's not because you're trying to hurt anybody. You just want the pain to stop. You just want the pain to stop. And it's hard, and especially being a Black woman, because as Black people, we're taught that we're not crazy. It's more acceptable to talk about Uncle So-and-so who's in prison than crazy Aunt Lisa in the back room. Those are things that
we don't
talk about.
No, I was going to say you didn't sound like someone with mentally ill, because you have a book out there and it's a great book. I've read portions of it.
Thank you.
And the minute I read a few pages of it, I said, "Wow, this is an autobiography. This is about her life. This is what she wants us to know, you know, because I've also written an autobiography of my life, you know, so I was impressed, you know, and because you want people to know things, you want people to read things about you, and hopefully they don't understand, but you know, as a mentally ill person, you didn't strike me as that for some reason, because you write so beautifully.
Thank you. But you know what it was is because I get a lot of people who ask, what can I do to help? Or what can I do to help a loved one? And because I've tried to research my illness and what's best for me, or, you know, how can I help someone else? Most books out there are written by either medical professionals or celebrities.
Yeah.
But I am an everyday person. I'm a single parent with two children, and I can relate to everyday issues. I don't know what it's like to make a whole bunch of money and not have to worry about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I talk very candidly about my childhood and my relationship with my family. And I have 12 brothers and sisters, and what it's like and all of that. So that's the whole
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a sickness and it may be not, you know, a sickness, you know that other people out there are probably having the same sickness or the same problems or the same disease or whatever. If you have it, you want to try to help as many people as possible. To have the ounce of knowledge about what you have. You know, I always say, a person might have diabetes. The first thing you want to do is you want to learn about everything about that disease. so you can help others to try to avoid it or try to understand it or to find people out there who are, you know, similar. The situations are similar to your own.
Right. And that's true. Mm-hmm. And the thing that people need to understand is that being mentally ill is just like any other medical illness. And doctors are finally starting to realize that. Maybe not all of them, but some of them are. And the thing is that because I'm everyday people, I can relate to everyday issues. And a lot of people in the medical field only have that training, but they don't know how to relate to it on an everyday scale. So I talk about being a single parent. I talk about family issues. Mm-hmm. And let's be real. Most of us, if we're past a certain age, we grew up in the church, and the church doesn't recognize it as an illness. Well, they said, you need to pray about it. You don't have enough faith. And I finally, the church that I live in Columbus, Ohio, and the church that I go to, I was hospitalized after my last miscarriage, and I was in and out of the hospital for 2 years. And one of the pastors, she came to see me, and she looked in my face and she said, this is real. It's not about just praying about it. And I knew I was at the right church because you're not telling me I don't have enough faith, you know, because most of the time you don't have enough faith. Oh, you're not praying hard enough. Well, if that was the case, then there would never be any mental illness. Everybody would be all prayed up.
That's why I always tell people, if you're going to a doctor, you have an illness or you have a disease, get more than one diagnosis. You know, go to, just because one doctor says something, get another opinion from one or two other doctors.
Yes.
You know, don't rely on
true.
One doctor because they're human. They can make mistakes too.
Yes. Like if you're taking medicine for heart disease or diabetes or whatever, and it's just not making you feel right. The same thing is for mental illness. This medication, but you have to give it a chance to work. So it usually takes 2 to 4 weeks for it to, you know, kick in and for the effect. But at the same time, okay, if you're 3 months into this and your symptoms are getting worse, then you need to talk to your healthcare professional. Be honest. Because if you're not honest and let them know what's truly going on, then there's nothing that they can do. They can't be held accountable if you are not giving them all the information. If you're truly suicidal, you need to say that. You need to say, look, this is how I'm feeling. Even if they put you on a 72-hour hold, it's in your best interest. And that I've never been on a 72. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, how does this impact the book?
Because I'm writing from the heart. And you can and I've had people who inbox me who say, is this about your life? Is this what you've experienced, or are you writing about someone else? Everything that I've written is directly related to me, everything that I have been through. So I'm not going on somebody else's story or their experience. This is what I have been through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my hope, my sincere hope that I'm able to help someone. You know, don't give up no matter what it looks like.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the point, is helping others, you know, helping others, because you know there's other people out here, you know, and they're looking for that help too, you know, that's what I try to do. I try to help others. If there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with someone in my family, I know others out there are suffering too. And you want to get the word out there to them that it can be licked, or it can be cured, or this is how you can do to make life better, or just by living with it, or whatever. You know, you want to get it out there to others. Because I've always said, why are you put on this earth? Why are you on the earth if you cannot help other people?
Right.
You're put here to help other people. If you have the resources, know-how, the knowledge, and the people out there, they're looking for it. They're searching for it. And you can be one of those people to help put that knowledge out there so they can learn.
And that's what I want to do. I want to be not only a motivational speaker,
but I would love to be a mental health advocate, to be able to be the voice for those who are too afraid to speak
for
themselves.
Oh, you'd be great for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And because that's what I really want to do, because there are people who can't or are too afraid to speak for themselves. And I want to be able to be that voice. You know, and I've been sick
wonderful.
For the last 4.5 years. And sometimes when I go to the hospital, you know, it must be in my file somewhere, a cute little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and they don't always want to take me seriously. And my best friend come with me and like, no, there's something wrong with her. You know, don't look at that, the mental part. You need, just because you're mentally ill does not mean there's not something wrong with your physical. And after 2 major surgeries and less than 4 years, obviously there's something wrong with me that had nothing to do with my mental. So, you know, sometimes you need that person to advocate for you and argue, listen.
Exactly. Talk about the book. Did you have much input on the cover design?
It's exactly what I wanted. It is exactly what I wanted. My publisher, Cassetta Jefferson of Virtuous Ink Publishing, she's just awesome. And everything is what I wanted, the cover. Because this is like we went through 5 different designs and we finally narrowed it down to what it is right now, and I love it. So that's what I wanted, and because somebody made it look like it was like a light from a train. Well, I'm like, well, I don't want the bird on a railroad track. I want it to be an eye from God. So the cover is exactly what I wanted it to be.
So you've titled the book "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." And does the content of the book reflect the title?
Not necessarily. There are biblical passages in it. There are some, but not a lot. I get a lot of people who say it was so sad. I'm like, oh my gosh. I never looked at the fact that it was sad and people would be emotional and crying about it. But what it was supposed to reflect is that through it all, I still held on to God. I never let him go. And I finally realized when I was in my 30s that God loved me. Now, late 30s, early 40s, you know, no matter what, God still loves me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the part that I want people to take away is, you know what, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your diagnosis. His eye is on the sparrow. Whether your name is a sparrow or not, don't give up. Just keep fighting. Keep trying. You know, because there were plenty of times to give up.
Never give up. Don't ever give up. I mean, you should be an inspiration for those others out there. And I think you do. You've settled in on writing, and that's great. That's a great way to keep doing it and to keep being positive and surround yourself with positive people.
Yes. Yes, because you can't be positive around a bunch of negativity because eventually that's going to affect you.
Yeah, I mean.
Whether it's family or friends. Yeah, can be
family.
Negative too.
Oh yeah, tell me about it. So writing this book, was it very emotional for you to put the words down? Because this is your life. Yeah.
Yes, and there were things that I thought that I had forgotten, but in the course of writing, they've come back up again. And then the one thing that shocked me the most, that I had no idea, is that I have a lot of anger towards my mother. And I always thought, because, you know, you're in church and you're taught to honor their mother and their father. Right. And I thought it was wrong. You can't be mad at your mom. You can't be mad at God.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of anger, and I'm trying to work through that now. You know,
okay.
I mean, you know. So, yes, I mean, it was very emotional. I cried a lot writing it. But it was also very cathartic. Mm-hmm. Very cathartic.
Yeah. Do you have an excerpt of the book? Can you read us a little bit?
I can.
Okay, great.
Okay, what I'm going to read is there's a couple different passages. The first one is
okay.
Chapter 1, in the beginning. I was
okay.
born Lisa Yvonne Banks on Friday, February 13th, 1970 at 9:37 p.m. at Mount Carmel West in Columbus, Ohio, on a cold winter's night to a mother who couldn't stand me. She hates the day I was born. That night began my lifelong odyssey as nobody's child. I was raised to be seen and not heard, which is probably why I talk so much now. I always knew that I was mistaken and unwanted. My mother even said I was green like a lizard and hairy like a monkey. How in God's name did I make it through my childhood feeling unwanted, never mind all the illnesses and injuries I had? The loan is amazing. It seems like every time I turned around, we were sitting in a doctor's office for one reason or another. If I wasn't hurt, I was sick. Fortunately, the two never happened at the same time, to the best of my knowledge. And this is chapter 13, Dark Days Ahead. I want to start by stating that depression is not contagious. It won't jump on you if you stand too close to someone who is depressed, and it won't request an invitation to dine with you. It's also not something that you can shoo away like a pesky fly. If this were the case, no one would be depressed. Also important to note is that crying is not an indication of whether I'm depressed or not. I am an emotional person by nature, so I cry when I'm happy, mad, sad, or glad. Something can touch my heart and I'll cry, or scare the crap out of me and I'll cry. So with me, a crying spell doesn't always mean that things are bad. There's a definite correlation between loneliness, depression, and sanity. The loneliness makes you want to claw your eyes out. You would almost rather accept a scum-sucking wife beater or make a deal with the devil than be alone. Oh, God, not another lonely weekend. Another weekend of crying yourself to sleep, and only you can rearrange your closet so many times. I have gotten rid of things and given them to thrift stores out of eating out of boredom and loneliness. Both of these emotional responses are very dangerous. As a very emotional person, this is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, okay. I'm still listening. It was powerful. It was powerful.
I was
engrossed. I was waiting for the next word and all that. But you know what? I'm going to go download the book and I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to review the book.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to review it.
I appreciate that.
Don't worry. I think we all could use reviews, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to review the book. I'm going to give it a positive review. No doubt about that. Because, you know, I love biographies. I love reading about, you know, the experiences of someone else. And how they got to where they have finally, you know, gotten to. Or how they have stayed where they are. So, or the changes in their life, their experiences. Because I remember when I first wrote my autobiography, you know, it was emotional for me too, because I had to put down things that I didn't want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I would put down things in there that the reader probably would not believe, you know, this happened, that happened.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I'm saying that, you know, I hardly believed in myself, but those things had happened. And I penned my autobiography because I thought my life was, I had something to say. My life was exciting. It was not exciting. It was boring. It was, you know, and I just had to put a lot of that stuff down because people didn't really know who I was. They knew I existed, but they didn't know much about me. So I just decided to, you know, write this book and try to set people straight on who I am. You
right.
know, even I have to tell the plain truth that was probably hurtful. So,
right.
you know,
and
like I said, I'm going to review the book and I really like it. You know, I really like it. I mean,
you write
in just simple language where everybody can just understand it, you know,
and
that's
that
a good thing.
That was my goal. That was my goal because I didn't want to include a bunch of numbers, a bunch of charts and graphs because medical books
mm-hmm.
do that.
I wanted it to come from the heart and for everyday people like me to understand. And I get a lot when people look at my website or my Facebook page, and they're like, oh, you're pretty. You don't look crazy. because on my author's page, I said, that was the night of my release party. And so I had a whole team of people that put together that look. I don't look like that in every day. I wear ponytails and just whatever I can fit because I've gained a lot of weight after my second surgery. So, you know, whatever I can fit. But it's not like people don't understand that we don't walk around looking like one flew over a cuckoo's nest wearing I Love Me straitjackets and would look like fresh had been sucking on our hair doing the Thor's in shuffle. No, we're everyday people. You're not going to look at me and
think. We sure are.
You know, she's a little
and because my I mean, I got a couple of photos out there with my glasses on, but when I'm sitting down here in my studio, you don't want to see me.
Everyday people, right?
Right.
Yeah, everyday people. And like I said, it's beautiful. So can you tell us about your upcoming projects? What are you going to do in the near future? Are you going to continue to write or...
I am currently working on book two, and that is another autobiography of sorts. It goes over a specific 18-month period in which a childhood friend tried to kill me, and then 13 months after that, a guy that I was involved with, he tried to kill me, so I was in a domestic violence relationship.
Is this fiction? Is this fiction?
No. Every word of that is true, and I have documentation to back that up, too.
Okay.
So, and then it just goes through those, I mean, the worst, you know, from being poisoned to having a stroke to, you know what, all I had at my worst times was mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith, and we know how tiny that is. And to not give up no matter what, no matter what was thrown at you, no matter what people said, no matter the doubts that you had, Lord, this is all I have. I know you're going to give it back to me. I know I know you're going to do this for me. I know what I know. I was 41 when that happened. I know that eventually I'm 45 now. I know eventually it was going to be okay, but it was a holding on in the darkest hours. You know what they say, in the midnight hour?
Yes.
That's the hard part. You cry yourself to sleep. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I can't walk right. My face is funny. Lord. Oh, you have all of these crazy thoughts, and you have mustard seed faith. And then I have a best friend. Her name happens to be Lisa, and God bless her. That is an angel on earth, and she would not let me give up. My son would not let me give up. So when you have those people in your life, you better pray for them and protect them and love them with everything you have. And because of them, I'm still here. I have other people. Don't get me wrong. You know, my friend Tani and Nakisha, people who were just there for me and just loved me through it all. And I was like, are you sure this happened? Because I had a stroke and it affected my memory, my right side. I had to learn to walk all over again, talk and, you know, the whole everything, right? But I put it in a book, and it's going to come out on the 5th anniversary of the attempted murder, and that's February 17th. So that's the whole thing is, like, I look at everything I have been through, but God. But God. If I can do it and I don't have the family support, people who have the family support, baby, you got this. You got it. And all you have to do is pray. It don't have to be those fancy prayers that we were taught in church. Because at 45, you know, that was back in the day. There wasn't no hour in and out. You were here all day on Sunday. Dinner was cold by the time you got home. You pray. It's a simple prayer. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. Everyday conversations. The thieves and the thousands, those confuse me. I talk to God like I'm having a conversation with a person because he knows my heart. God is there everywhere. Some days all I can do is pray my way to work. Oh, they get on my nerves. Let me go pray for a minute. Or sometimes I'm sitting at my
Lisa?
Desk. Yeah.
Lisa? You okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you. We had a little technical difficulty. Go ahead. Start over wherever you left off. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just running my mouth.
But and basically, I was gone. I don't know. You know what? In the second one, even though it's a lot of drama in it, it's basically don't
yes.
give up. This is what happens when you
okay.
don't give up, when you have the faith of a mustard seed. So that's what, and, you know, again, my hope is to be a motivational speaker and to be a mental
mm-hmm.
health advocate. So that, because I know that I can't be the only woman, the only single parent out here who's struggling with everyday issues, domestic violence situations, mental health situations. And those are the women that I want to be, young women too. And I'm honest in His Eye is on the Sparrow, because I didn't get mm-hmm. what I needed from my parents. I was looking for it in all these, in too many men, trying to find
out. Okay, Lisa, can you, Lisa, I have a caller on the line. I'm going to try and bring this person in, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hello, caller. You have a question for the author?
Yes. Apparently. I'm wondering, how has writing this book, do you feel it's been therapeutic, and do you feel that it's helping you in your journey towards wellness?
Did she say, how has it been therapeutic?
Yes. And how
okay.
is it helping you in your journey towards wellness?
It's been therapeutic for me because I was able to write down some of the ugliest things in my life that I necessarily couldn't share with other people, and I didn't feel that people would understand, and because people are judgmental. And I didn't want to be judged according to the things that I've done or I've felt or I've been through. And we're all like that. That's just human nature. So it's very therapeutic because a lot of stuff I was able to write, and a lot of things were shredded that didn't actually make it to the book. But to be able to sit down and while you're writing, you're getting a clarification. Oh, okay, now that makes sense to me. You're able to see it on paper, and then you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. And so that was a therapeutic part for me, is that because I love to write. I write longhand. So whatever you see in print has already been written out, notebook, pen and paper. I'm old school. That's how I prefer to do things. So to be able to get it out of my system, so to speak, that's the part that was so therapeutic, because it's on paper and it's between me and God, because I can shred it afterwards. But what you see here is some of the things that I felt would be helpful to other people about being a single parent. I love my children, but it's hard being a single parent, about being raised in a church, about love almost killing me. So, because, like I said, I don't think that I'm the only person who's been through this. So the therapy for me was to write out exactly how I felt.
Okay,
and,
caller,
you know,
she answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I think it's a good book, and I think it's good that you took the step to write it, because a lot of times, as you said, people don't want to admit to certain things. And so by reading your book, you know, other people can say, hey, I'm not alone in this. And maybe, you know,
right.
even some of the darkest times, they can identify, and that would make them not feel so bad about things that they've been through. So it was, you know, it's appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
My hope.
You're welcome.
Okay. Can you
hand.
Tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks to caller. Lisa, can you tell us where we can find your book?
It's on Amazon. It's on
okay.
Amazon, or you can go to my website, which is HisEyesOnTheSparrow.com,
mm-hmm.
or my Facebook page, which is Lisa Y. Sparrow Author, and it will take you to
mm-hmm.
my website to be able to order it.
Okay, and you are working on some upcoming projects. Can you tell us very, very fast, are you in the process of publishing something else?
Yes, that is set to come out in February.
Okay,
2016? Yeah, February 17th.
Oh, okay.
February 17th.
2016,
yes.
Oh, okay. February 17th.
Yes.
Okay. Is there something else you would like to tell us about the book that you haven't told us already? You know, anything else you might have left out or anything about the book or about you or anything?
The one thing that I'm going to say is if somebody feels that they need help, don't listen to your naysayers. If you feel that you're in a bad place, go to an emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Go to, you know, we have something called NET Care at home, which is if you're in a mental health crisis. So, you know, I'm not from Cleveland. I'm not from Chicago. But if you hit me in my inbox, I will try to find you to help the best way I can. But if you feel that you need help, then you go get it, no matter what anybody else says. There's somebody else out there feeling the exact same way that you feel.
Oh, exactly.
Do what you feel is best for you.
Okay, what would you say to people, what kind of advice would you give to young writers who want to write but they give up because of negative voices? Do you think they should keep on writing or, you know, what kind of advice you would give to other people who want to write?
Keep writing. Keep writing. Don't ever give up. Even if it's a micro movement, which is, it can be as short as 5 minutes a day, a sentence or two, but if you keep doing it, eventually you're going to get done. Don't listen to those, again, do not listen to the naysayers. Don't even give up when you feel like giving up. Just keep doing it, and it's going to come. It's going to come. You'll get done. And find a mentor.
Well, one last question. Do you ever get writer's block? I mean, there's another time where you just can't think of anything to put down on paper, or does it just flow all the time because it's up there?
No, I don't write all the time. Yes, I get writer's block, and that's so frustrating because life happens. You know, life happens. Life gets in the way, if you will. And like I said, I've been battling illness, and I'm a single parent, you know, running my kids around. And I have a boyfriend, and just, you know, life, and I work. So when those times happen, I have to get that quiet time to myself and recharge my batteries and, you know, just let it all go and just kind of relax a little bit and then write again. And I take notes. I keep my handy-dandy notebook with me and a pen at all times because you never know when an idea is going to come.
Okay, Lisa, it's been nice having you on the show. Thanks for coming. Come back again. You were a great guest.
Thank
I said before, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that book review as give me a few days on it, but I'll get it up there. It will be positive. It will be a 5-star review because I don't like giving out anything but 5-star reviews. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show, and I hope to have you back. All righty.
Thank you for having me, and I'll love to come back.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to take a little break here. I will be right back. Don't go away. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for...
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. It's still light. It's still bright and sunny in Chicago. I'm looking out of the window from my studio. I'm near the lake. And it was just great. It was just a great, Lisa was just a great and wonderful guest. She will be back on the show, and I will give her a 5-star review because she's such a nice person, and I like nice people. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. My call-in number is 347-857-1762 if you want to chime in on what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about now is the smart quiz question. We've got to have a smart quiz question. There is no George Wilder Jr. Show without a smart quiz question. And that question is, who was the 16th president of the United States? Do you know? You don't know? I thought you... Oh, I'm talking to my son, if anybody wants to... The 16th president of the United States? Oh, I'll let you know. I'll have the answer in case anybody doesn't know. I'll have that answer to that question in about 10 minutes. So stick around. Stick with me if you want to know the answer. If you just want to stick, just listen to the show. It doesn't matter. But the question is, who was the 16th president of the United States? You're going to be embarrassed when I tell you this. Okay. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. And this is the day before the 4th of July. This is July 3rd. Tomorrow's July 4th. And this is my 100th show. That's something. This is my 100th show. Show with author Lisa Y. Sparrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show, 100th show. Wow. I mean, what do you do when it's your 100th show? I mean, what do? You do something. It's almost like an anniversary or something, you know. It's your 100th show, and you just keep saying that. Thank you. It's my 100th show, and I'm just beside myself right now because it's just something that never happened to me before. And I love what I'm doing, and thank you very much. And hopefully, thank you. And hopefully I can have 100 more. But if you think about it, there's a lot of radio hosts out there that have 300 and 400 episodes. But to me, this is my 100th show. And for me, it's a milestone. You know, it's telling me that I'm doing something good. But you know what? I'm just getting started. And there's a lot for me to learn. There's a lot for me to try to get my... you know, get my head around. There's a lot more to learn. There's a lot more to see. There's a lot more people to meet. There's a lot more things to do. There's a lot more topics and titles to come up with. There's a lot more guests I need to get on the show. I would like to think of this show as a family show, you know, so as where the entire family can sit around the internet or the radio and listen. You know, it's a great show. It's a wonderful show. And like I said, I enjoy doing it. And I hope that resonates out there when you are listening to this show. I'm going to be working tomorrow, the 4th of July. Yes, I'm going to be here because I love what I'm doing and I want to be here. I want to be here with you. you know, I mean, I don't think there's going to be too many people going to be sitting around the radio or the internet listening to George Wilder Jr., but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people who are going to archive the show and listen later because they love the show. You know, not just me, but they love the guests who appear on the show. This is a wonderful show, and I'm proud of it. And I'm going to do my best to try to make it a lot better, not just better for me, but better for the guests on the show. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. I will be right back. Stay right there. Listen to this. I will be right
back.
Hey,
friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our times. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. My 100th show. I'm going to remember this episode for a long time. That's why I'm, you know, espousing that it's my 100th show. And also, it's the third day of the state of Illinois being shut down because we have an overzealous governor, new governor, who's only been in office 7 months. I mean, when this guy, on his first day that he was inaugurated, he started talking about and doing cuts by using his executive authority. You know, I mean, this guy just, like any other Republican, he just don't want to see people go to the doctor. He doesn't want to see people eat. He doesn't want to see people, you know, out here enjoying themselves. He's just one of those guys who take from the poor and give to the rich. The only people who has Governor Rauner's ear of Illinois are his rich buddies. His rich buddies. And like I said before at the beginning of the show, the best thing we can do is get these monsters out of office is to vote them out. Or are they going to go out in handcuffs? One of the two. And neither one is past Rauner. I've said several times, this guy, I mean, when you're stopping payments to social services that by law that these payments should be mailed, should be made, these bills should be paid because it's federal law, you're breaking the law. By him not signing a spending bill, not having the state pay its bills, especially the bills that are federally funded and against the law if you don't pay them, he's breaking the law. Okay, he vetoed pay raises for the Illinois legislature. They have to deal with Rauner, okay? When he's messing with people out here, the elderly, seniors, children, when he's messing with these people, the vulnerable people, then that's when we have to get out there and stop this guy. People are starving. People are being thrown out of their apartments. People are sleeping on the streets because of Rauner right now. People are losing their jobs. They're losing their jobs. There's going to be overwhelmingly a lot of teachers being fired. I think 1,400 teachers. That's down from 3,000, but it's still bad. The unions are out there against this guy. Teachers' unions. Ask me. You name it. SEIU. They're out here protesting Rauner. These guys are out here and they're going to court on this guy. So I'm thinking that the middle of next week, which is the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th of July 2015, this month, we're going to hear a lot more about this because during that time, this state will still be shut down. Because this is the 4th of July weekend and these guys are on vacation. They're not in the legislative now. They're gone. They're gone for the holidays. So these guys are having a good holiday. They're getting their paycheck while the rest of us, and it's their fault that we're not getting our check. But they're going to get theirs. They're going to have a good, great holiday. But they screwed us. They screwed our holiday because with these cuts and letting the funding run out without a budget for the fiscal year July 1st. So that's why the state is shut down. But these guys are going home and enjoying themselves, their families, pockets full of money, no worries. But they left us stranded. They left us out in the cold. This is what I don't understand. We vote these guys into office to represent us. They do not represent us. They represent themselves. They work against our interests. But they don't know, these representatives, they have to be voted in office every 2 years. Every 2 years. But you know, once a representative is voted into office, the first thing he thinks is not representing his constituency, is not doing his job. The first thing that guy is thinking, or that woman is thinking, is how am I going to get reelected? That's what they're thinking. The first day on the job, they're thinking, how can I get reelected? They're not thinking on how they can make your life better. They're thinking, how can I get reelected? I fooled them this time. Maybe I can fool them again. That's all it's about. Winning office and getting elected for these representatives. Okay, I think they're saying that 71 representatives will be in the legislature next week. So they're going to try to vote and to override a lot of the things that Rauner wants to do or trying to do. They're going to override it. Because if you think about it, the Democrats have the majority in both the Senate and the House of Representatives in Illinois. They have the majorities, but some Democrats, they become turncoats. And that's bad because when Democrats do that, they don't have the votes to overturn anything that Rauner wants or proposes or suggests or automatically wave his hand and things happen. That's called executive authority that he's using, you know. But like I said before, the guy does not have his way in this state. He can't do that. It ain't going to happen. As long as the Democrats hold majorities in both chambers, he can't do anything. He can make proposals. That's all he can do is propose. And when someone doesn't follow or want his proposals, he criticizes them. He berates them. He talks about them. He's mean and nasty because they won't follow his lead. I don't know what kind of lead that is because he's taking this state into the gutter. And we, the people, is going to have to pull this beautiful, wonderful state up out of the toilet and the gutter that this guy has placed this state into. For 2 or 3 days, we haven't heard anything from Bruce Rauner. But he's going to be back on the trail next week. And I do understand that a lot of people are really, really pissed off at this guy. They are pissed to the world that he came in here out of nowhere and destroyed this state, shut it down. This has never happened in Illinois before. There's never been no shutdown. We've heard of federal shutdowns, but a state shutdown, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. He's right. He will never get into office again. Matter of fact, we're going to try to send him out of office in a few days or a few weeks or maybe a couple years in handcuffs. That's what he needs. He needs to be in handcuffs. This is wrong, what he's doing. Starving people to death. People are dying. People are scared to death. They're going to lose their benefits. I mean, when you're scared to death, and you're emotionally stressed because of this, it can make your problems, your symptoms, your disease, your sickness, your illness, all of those things can get worse just by being scared to death. and people are scared to death that their benefits are going to stop. Their check will not be there. Hell, if I worked for the state of Illinois, I'd be pissed and scared too, especially when I got bills to pay. House note, apartment, a car, child school, education. I mean, I would be scared to death. You miss one payment, you're screwed. Especially if you're living from one check to the next. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be talking about this topic tomorrow, because tomorrow is the 4th of July, and tomorrow will be the fourth day of the Illinois shutdown. But somehow the media isn't calling it a shutdown. They were calling it a shutdown before it actually was shut down. But now that it's shut down, they're calling it something else. They're calling it an impasse or something like that. Or they just can't get along, they can't agree, so there won't be any paychecks. But now they kind of slacked off on a shutdown after the shutdown. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what it feels and sounds like to me. You know, because before the shutdown, the media was going, oh, it's going to be a shutdown. They're going to shut it down. State of Illinois is going to be shut down. Now that it's shut down, oh, they can't reach it. The state is at an impasse. They're using different words besides shut down. But the state is shut down. Believe me, that's the correct word to use. And a lot of people are pissed off at Rauner. I mean, they're calling this guy every name in the book because he is solely to blame for the shutdown. He is solely to blame for people not getting paid. He is solely to blame for people not being able to go to the doctor, the hospital, or clinic to get care or to get their medicine. He is solely to blame. People are being scared to death. When people are scared, their sickness and their illnesses increase because that put pressure on the heart. Okay, I just heard I had 90 seconds left in the show. I want to thank my guest again, Lisa Y. Sparrow, for her, you know, talking about and discussing her important book. It is her autobiography. It is available on Amazon. You listen to the show, she'll tell you where her website is, because my mind is just clouded right now. Thank you very much. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr.'s show, and we're just about off the air. Join me tomorrow. Bye-bye. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Happy 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on the Wilder Network. WTTTY, Chicago, Illinois.